Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Colossians chapter 4, focusing on verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. The first two chapters of Colossians is the doctrinal section, proclaiming to us that if you have Jesus Christ living in you, that you have been made complete in Christ. Having been made complete in Christ, now he gives us the details in chapters 3 and 4 of the completed life in Christ. We have several applications of the principles dealing with this completed life. We've gone through several applications of relationships with other believers, especially within the family structure, concerning prayer in verse 5, concerning the approach to non-believers. And verse 6 actually comes under verse 5, but a different subject. But verse 5 says, be walking in wisdom toward the ones outside. So be walking in the Spirit with God's perspective towards the ones who are outside of the body of Christ, the ones who are not saved, by redeeming the time. That is, our time has been purchased by Christ. We belong to Him. And so it is with the conscious awareness that we're living out our life. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're like a book that's being read and known by all people. And so we're to redeem the time. The time that we have is to show forth Christ and His glory to the ones who are outside by living our life in wisdom. In other words, not living our life like they do, but with an awareness that we have a different purpose and a different reason, heading towards a different direction and toward a different ending. In verse 6, the application number 6 is concerning speech, concerning what we say. Let your speech always be in grace, having been seasoned with salt, that you should know how it is necessary to answer each one or each person. Speech, our speech in the Scriptures is presented as one of the most important, if not the most important, functions of the Christian. We want to study three things quickly this morning. First of all, the biblical analysis of speech and how important it is. I draw your attention to James chapter 3, verses 2 through 10, as the Bible gives us an analyzation of the importance of our speech. James chapter 3, verse 2, James says, for in many things we all stumble. If anyone does not stumble in speech, this one is a mature man, able to bridle also the whole body. So what he's saying is, the discipline and control of one's life comes from the small member of our body, the tongue. If you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. He gives examples. James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we are putting bits in the mouths of the horses for them to obey us. And we are turning around their whole body. Here's this massive beast, this massive animal. And we control him and his direction by the bit we put in his mouth to control the whole body. Behold also the ships being so great, being driven by fierce winds. They are being turned around by a very small rudder wherever the impulse of the one steering should decide. This way also the tongue is a small member and is boasting great things. Behold, a little fire is igniting how large a forest. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, the world of the unrighteousness. This way the tongue is being set among our members, defiling the whole body and setting on fire the course of nature and being set on fire by Gehenna, word for hell. For every species of beasts, both also of birds, of both creeping things and things of the sea, these things are being tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But the tongue no one is able of men to tame. It is an unrestrainable, or as some Greek texts say, it is an unruly evil, full of poison of death. In this, with the tongue, we are blessing God and the Father, and in this, we are cursing people, the ones who have been created according to the likeness of God. From out of the mouth goes out blessing and cursing. It is not fitting, my brothers, for these things to happen this way. As we talk to God one way, and we talk to those who have been created in the image of God yet another way. Should be both the same, he says. So the analysis of the scripture is to point out that the tongue is but a small member among the members of the body, and yet it guides the entire course of one's life. We live and die by what we say. Other people are affected by our words as well. That's the second thing. After the analysis, the biblical analysis of speaking, we talk about its effect. Let your speech always be in grace, having been seasoned with salt. The effect of our speech. The old saying we had in school, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We used to tell people who would hurt us to let them know you haven't hurt me, but in reality, it does hurt. Words hurt. With the mass shootings and stabbings and killings and maiming of people that are going on, not only around the world, but especially in our country, people talk about gun control and knife control and that it's the fault of the weapons, not of the people. Nobody talks about, let's cut people's tongues out. Because the tongues cause more damage than all of the weapons put together. A person can be very strong. If they are a weak physical person, they can become very strong with their tongue. Instead of coming up and hitting people or shooting people, you can cut them with the tongue, hurt them with the tongue. So we're told to speak in grace, having been seasoned with salt. That's what they said about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 22. In fact, after Jesus read the scroll of Isaiah, from Isaiah 61, in Luke 4, verse 22, it says, "And all were giving witness to him and were marveling over the words of grace coming out of his mouth. And they were saying, is this not the son of Joseph?" Here's this person we knew as a human being, the son of Joseph, and yet the words of grace that would pour out of his mouth just when he read the scriptures. Grace is the favor of God that is spoken by the Holy Spirit. Grace is the favor of God spoken by the Holy Spirit. You'll read some commentators and they will tell you that to speak in grace means to speak graciously. That's human. To speak in grace is to be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, which will express God's favor, his grace upon people. But we see that having been seasoned with salt, it must be in grace and having been seasoned in salt. Three things about salt in the scriptures, especially in the days of Jesus. First of all, salt purifies. Salt purifies. They used to pour salt on meat that could not be refrigerated in order to purify it and keep it pure. Also as a preservative. But also to make it palatable. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its savor, its saltiness, its flavor, then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out in the street and have it be trodden under the foot of man." So it purifies, and you know that if salt touches a wound, it's going to sting. Sometimes words of grace seasoned with salt will sting the wounds of sin. Sometimes words of grace purify a situation rather than the corrupt words being used by the people. And again, it makes it palatable, receivable. It is interesting about the ungodly in Scripture. In Psalm chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Let Yahweh cut off all lips of flattery and the tongue speaking great things, who have said," this is a quote of the ungodly, "with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord to us?" People will speak what they want, when they want, and what they want to say. There's nobody Lord over them. The opposite is true. When Jesus Christ is your Lord, he not only saves us from our sin, but he governs the expressions of our life to minister grace to the hearers. In Psalm 141, verse 3, Psalm 141, verse 3, the psalmist said, "Set, O Yahweh, a guard for my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips. The sensitivity to the fact that as we live in wisdom towards those who are outside, how we live, what we do, what we say, how we say it, it all has an effect on everybody around us. Especially true for those who we live with, those who we're close to, especially our neighbors. All affected by what we say and how we say it. So our speech is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit expressing God's grace. The speech that has been seasoned with salt. But thirdly, let your speech be always in grace, having been seasoned with salt, a purpose clause that you should know how it is necessary to answer each person. This applies to all circumstances. How I go through my circumstances and how I express myself and the words that I use affect other people. In God's wisdom, I am to learn how He wants to answer and respond to each person through my circumstances. People are affected by not just my circumstances, but how I react to them and what I say about them and how it affects other people. It's either a ministry or it's going to take them down. And pull them down. Especially learning how to answer each person within my household, within the neighborhood. We as Christians seem to follow along with we learn a pattern. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons that go door to door, they learn a certain sales presentation. They let you talk, but they're not listening. There's an old saying that says that there's the problem with communication today is that when a person speaks, people don't listen to understand. They listen so that they can reply. They wait for you to get through because they already know what they're going to say. But they're not listening to understand. The ones that go door to door, they're not listening to understand. They know what you're going to say. They're ready for it. They've trained for it. They know what their line's going to be the next time you say something to them. Christians are the same way. I used to train young people on how to go out two by two and witness. Using the same presentation for every person. We used to take them by school bus down to the malls on Friday nights and just turn the kids loose, two by two, going around approaching people to witness to them for Christ. It was all a sales pitch. They went to class, we taught them what to say, how to say it. And how to answer people if they had objections or had questions. In fact, it was enlightening one time when I went to a mall many years ago and somebody approached me, a young person, saying, I'd like to tell you about Jesus if you're not a Christian. I said, you know, if you were under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you would know I'm already a Christian. Kind of looked at me startled. I said, yeah, I know. I used to train people like you to go out and do witnessing. Just pick somebody out and tell them the same sales pitch over and over and over again. Rather than just letting life flow naturally and learning how to answer each person. You ever notice how the Bible presents to us various messages that Jesus gave, and I can't think of any that are the same. Yet they all led to the same thing. There's only one person that he told, you need to be born again. But there are others that he ministered to and led them in the same direction. Told the rich man to sell all that you have and come and follow me. He knew how to answer each person because each person was different. The born again phrase was to the master teacher of Israel who thought religiously he was already saved. He needed to be told he needed to be born again. Every person needs to be born again. But to the rich person, Jesus put his finger on his wealth and his riches and the very thing that would keep him from surrender to Christ. He knew how to answer each one individually, not in a set sales pitch. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let not any corrupt word go out of your mouth. But if any good to the building up of the need, in order that it might give grace to the ones hearing. Let no corrupt communication go out of your mouth. The word corrupt in the Greek, sapros, has to do with fruit that rots when it hits the ground. In the picture of someone hearing our words and it's settling in their mind and in their heart and just sits there and rots. The kind of effect that it has on them. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, one of my favorites, 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, be ready always with a defense to everyone asking you a reason concerning the hope in you with meekness and fear. So be ready to respond to people who ask you for the reason for the hope that's within you. Not go out and forcefully tell people, but when they ask. That's how I've learned over the years if I ever had any questions. Does the Lord want me to say something? Does he not want me to say anything? Well, it'll show by if they ask. The Lord will be working. Same way as we deal with the people in the neighborhood. Some people we've known for a long time, I've never invited them to church. I've never spoken to them personally about Jesus Christ. Because they haven't asked. And I know that's the open door. If God wants them to hear, they will ask. In the meantime, my speech and my lifestyle is to reflect the Christ who is within me. That will draw out the people. Then they will ask for the hope that I have in Christ. I am to do this with meekness and fear, that is to say, openness and respect. Speech always comes with the factor of prautetos, of being open. I mean, what you could be wrong. Rather than being the know-it-all that basically says, I'm right and you're wrong, is let me share Christ with you, and if there's something wrong with that, if I'm not right about it, let me know, attitude. And respect for the people you're talking to. So he says, let your speech be always in grace, having been seasoned with salt. In verse 5, it was redeeming the time. Now it's redeeming the speech. Living life in wisdom. Not just living life, by the seat of our pants, impulsively, whatever comes up, whatever we feel like doing, whatever we want to do. Realize that life has a purpose, and that purpose is that no matter where we are and what we're doing, we are influencing everybody around us. They might not be paying attention, but we have an influence, either destructive or constructive. We're either leading people to Christ or we're turning them away. That's the purpose for living, to know Him and that other people would know Him through us. And that our speech would express and give the answer to all of those who ask us for the reason for the hope within. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so made aware of the importance for our existence. Not only to come to know Christ and be changed by the grace of Christ as we learn of Him, but also to come more and more to the realization that our lives are expressions. And the expressions of our life affects everybody around us, whether we want it to or not. We affect people with the grace of Christ, or we affect them with the corruption of our human nature. And even though that can work out to be some kind of psychological principle where we're constantly trying to say the right thing with the right people, we confess today the realization that it is really our need of Your Holy Spirit. Grace can only come from Christ. Wisdom can only be imparted by Christ. Help us to be confident in our relationship with Christ that we can be ready to give a response, a reason to everyone who asks us, and that we will depend upon Your Spirit to give the ministry to that specific person as You have seen in Your wisdom to express, and not some sales pitch which people already see through. As we've seen over the weeks and months and years, that this is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that it is the Spirit of Christ in us that wants to reveal Himself, not only in our actions, in redeeming the time, but also in our speech. That our speech would be the influence of the grace of God to minister and express Christ to everyone who asks. We pray that You'd continue to help us to learn this wisdom, to see life from Your perspective, and understand exactly who we are and why we are here. And we confess our need of Your Holy Spirit to teach us and work these things out in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.